So we were discussing one particular sutta as our topic during last couple of days. The sutta name is called Kaya Gata Sati Sutta. So I like to share screen about that, some information about that sutta. So basically the idea is Buddha is trying to give a guidance for us to keep our attention related to the body, because this is one of the important aspects, because we can't immediately look at the mind, because looking at the mind would be a little difficult. Sometimes we might think, okay, why not look at the mind immediately? But as far as the practical sense is considered, so looking at the body is much more easier than looking at the mind. So therefore, we are using body first to improve our mindfulness, to develop fair amount of concentration and to develop fair amount of wisdom. And with that developed mindfulness, concentration and wisdom, then we can easily switch to Vedana-anupassana, even to look at various feelings. And naturally, then there's the possibility of looking at the mind as well, to Chitta-anupassana. That is the typical practical approach. So in this Kayagata Sutta, actually Buddha is taking us to the body, giving body as the main component, as the main instrument of keeping our attention. So in this sutta, actually the monks were having a sort of a discussion at the Upatthana Sala, sort of their gathering place. So at that time, Buddha is approaching that the same place and he is inquiring what is the topic that they were discussing. So at that time, the monks are explaining Buddha, telling that we were discussing in praise of your knowledge that you have preached us Kayagata Sati, mindfulness on the body, and which has so much of benefits. One of the most important benefit here is to have body-related mind. So body with body related attention. So typically our attention is distracted towards various incidents happened in the past or what is going to happen in the future. So we are always sort of jumping between these two ends, these two extremes. But on the other hand, if we are using the body as an anchoring point, as an object for our attention, then that helps us to sustain our attention with respect to the body. So that is the most important advantage of Kayanupassana. So under this sutta, Buddha is discussing many components, many subjects, many topics. One of that is mindfulness on breathing. So that we already discussed. Then the four postures, sitting posture, walking posture, standing posture, and lying down posture and various other sub postures. So using those as the primary object, using them as the point of attention. And then clear comprehension, trying to be aware of various other day-to-day activities while eating, while drinking, while say swimming or while bathing, while wearing our clothes, say while defecating, while urinating. So likewise, there are immense amount of places, immense amount of activities we can incorporate mindfulness. So this is in a way kind of an expanding of mindfulness, expansion of mindfulness, and we have to take an interest on that. So simply by attending a retreat and then forgetting about it, or once a week attending this kind of a say session and then forgetting about it, is not the practical approach. So we have to honestly take some interest on developing these inner qualities. So therefore, we have to find out ways and means to incorporate mindfulness to various day-to-day activities without neglecting it. Say while eating, rather than watching a TV or watching a newspaper and eat, we rather have to eat mindfully. So while having a coffee, while having a tea, so you can be mindful and have a tea. Suppose you are brushing your teeth. Similarly, you can be mindful and do the job. So likewise, you have to expand mindfulness. So that is the idea of clear comprehension number 3. Then the bodily parts, asubha. So that is the last topic we discuss, that we probably might have a wrong idea that this body is really beautiful. I am beautiful than the other person. I am ugly than the other person. Likewise, we, with respect to the body, we have these wrong notions, wrong ideas. And sometimes we think this body is I am, and this body belongs to me, and this body is simply one unit. But on the other hand, if we look at it in a different perspective, we can understand, okay, this consists of various bodily parts, head hair, body hair, say skin, like that, so many bodily parts are concerned. So it's a kind of a combination, it's a kind of an accumulation, assembly of various bodily parts. So this is another concern Buddha asks us to reflect, so that we will lose the wrong notion of compactness. Typically we have this compactness. So when we look at another person, we see as one unit, as one person. And we don't know actually what are the inside components. How many parts are accumulated, assembled in a proper manner, in a particular fashion, in order to have this so-called person. It's very much like a vehicle. So if you are assembling a vehicle, you have to take, say, tires, wheels, say, engine. Likewise, so many components are there. So once we are assembling it in a particular style, in a particular pattern, so then we can call it a car. We can call it a bus. So likewise, similarly here, when these different components are get together, taken and attached together, we can say it is called a man, it's called a woman. So likewise, we give various names and we actually confuse the situation. Now Buddha is taking us to a little deeper sense by giving a proper perspective. Now this body is not a single thing, but a combination of so many parts, so many components. And none of them are attractive. That's another aspect. So all these bodily parts, when we consider them individually, none of them are attractive. So when we contemplate like that, so our so-called lust cannot exist. So we have lustful mind because we can't see the depth. We simply see the surface. We simply see the skin. We simply see the outer appearance. There we get deluded. But on the other hand, if we are able to penetrate the skin, if we are able to understand the inner components, if we can penetrate and understand various this loathsome parts, then there is nothing to attach. There is nothing to be lustful. So likewise, this 32 parts, Asubha Bhavana, actually help us to reduce our attachment, reduce our conceit, and to be grounded, to come back to the middle range. So this is another aspect. And on the other hand, we can discuss today about the other component. That is another very important meditation subject, where Buddha is explaining us various elements. Probably you can remember that Buddha is preaching different ways about this so-called person. This so-called person is 4 or 5 khandhas. This so-called person is 6 elements. This so-called person is 6 kind of, say, contacts. So like us, different explanations are there in the Buddha's teaching to recognize this so-called person. We have a wrong notion, wrong perception about this experience, and we are attributing a person here. We are making an individual. We are making a self. But on the other hand, if we are able to recognize in this way, in a proper way, then that self-view may reduce. That self-view sort of going to be blurred, because the proper understanding, wise reflection is going to operate. So that is the point. And here in the elements, Dhatu Manasikara, so we are trying to understand the operation of various elements through their characteristics. Now, you know, earth element, if we consider. Earth element has 6 characteristics. Typically, we say 6 characteristics. Say it is hard, it is heavy, it is rough. On the other hand, it is light, it is smooth, it is soft. So likewise, there are six characteristics. So whenever any of these characteristics are present, then we can understand, okay, the earth element is present there. On the other hand, if there are water element, then it's a kind of a watery. It's kind of a flowing, kind of a cohesion. So all these characteristics are belonging to the water element. Say if you consider the outside water element, say if you consider the flowing water, a river, a reservoir, maybe a cup of tea, cup of orange. So everywhere the flowing nature is evident. So wherever the flowing nature is available, then we can say, okay, this is the water element. So therefore, two characteristics are there for water element. So one thing is the most common evident flowing nature. On the other one is that the cohesion, you know, if there are kind of a dust, if we put dust or powder, if we put some water to it, so it becomes as a one sort of one bunch, one unit. So that is because of the cohesive power of water. So therefore, whenever things are not falling apart, not disintegrating, but coming together, attached together, so that is the function of water. So wherever we see this assembly, where we see that accumulation, combination, attachment, there we can understand, okay, in this first physical world, irrespective of it is internal or external, the water element is in operation. And on the other hand, I like to point out another fact here. Now, when we are considering earth element, so various body parts are actually earth element. Now, here in this 32 parts, the first 20 parts are majority earth element. Say head hair, body hair, nail, teeth, skin, flesh, all these have earth element as their the predominant characteristic. Majority is earth element. On the other hand, if we consider say saliva, tears, fat, snot, urine, blood, so these actually have the water element as their major component. So likewise, we can understand if we consider inside this very body, so this consists of earth element and also this consists of water element. So we can have a proper idea about these elements when we are reflecting about our body. So rather than considering this as me or mine, or I am so and so, we can little go deeper and understand various components, various bodily parts. And more than that, we can understand the presence of various elements. So whenever hardness, roughness, softness, heaviness, lightness is available, okay, we can understand, okay, this is the function of earth element. Whenever there is these characteristics are evident outside, say you are touching a table, you are touching a cup, you are touching a chair, so it's a smoothness, roughness, heaviness, hardness is evident. So there you can understand, okay, earth element is present not only inside but also in outside. So are they two different earth elements or are they quite similar? So there we will understand, okay, this internal earth element and the external earth element are merely earth element. They don't know actually where they are. They don't know whether they are in a female body or male body or child's body or on a table or chair. They don't know. They are merely elements. Actually, it is us that we are putting these so many labels and arguing each other and fighting each other. But these elements never know where they are. So more and more we contemplate like that, so our grasping towards the internal earth element may reduce. Thinking this internal earth element is so valuable, so precious, another external earth element is not that valuable. So that kind of a measurement, that kind of a wrong understanding will reduce and we will have a sort of a equal attention or equal value to both sides. So there's that duality going to be reduced. Internal and external duality going to be reduced. Now everywhere you see earth element. Everywhere you see water element. And if you go to air element, so air element is always moving, sort of vibration. So this moving, vibration, changing, all these are actually the function of air element. So the internally also we have the air element, say inhale, exhale, the upcoming air, outgoing air, the air circulation inside the bodily parts, so our bodily movements. All these are due to air element. Similarly, if we consider the outside, maybe the wind, maybe the movements, motion. So all these are again air element. So wherever movements are present, wherever some change, some kind of a position-wise change is present, there we can understand, okay, this is the function of air element. So likewise, so we can understand the presence of air element. And this internal air element and the external air element are merely air element. So we are now, in a way, developing certain insights with respect to these elements. When we are properly observing these characteristics, properly recognizing these characteristics, then we can understand, okay, they are merely earth element. They are merely water element. They are merely air element. They are not me. They are not mine. They are not myself. They are merely elements. On the other hand, if we take, say, fire element, so we have the body temperature, we sometimes have sort of a burning effect, and we have sort of an aging process, and we have the digestion process. So all these are the functions of fire element. When there is any kind of a heat, temperature, and that is the presence of fire element. And it may manifest as cold or hot. So when, suppose you are drinking tea, at that time, suppose you can observe the water element because it is flowing nature is there. At the same time, it may be hot. So therefore, the presence of fire element is also there. So likewise, these elements are combined. They are not independently acting, but rather they live together. They participate together. But one of them may be come to the front. One of them may be predominant. So that is the point. So therefore, whenever we can feel some movement, we can understand though this is the function of air element. On the other hand, even if outside, if we can feel the heat, or if we can feel the hot, cold, then we can understand, okay, this is the function of fire element. So internal fire element and the external fire element are merely fire element. There is no difference. So everywhere simply the fire element. Earth element, water element, say fire element, air element. So everywhere in the physical world, nothing but elements. So this is a kind of a contemplation. Actually, you have to develop some amount of mindfulness, some amount of concentration. And that developed concentration can be used to observe this body. So how this body is working? So what are the evident characteristics of this body? What are the evident, say, elements of this body? Is it rough? Is it gross? Is it heavy? Is it light? Is it flowing? So likewise, to various parts of the body, we can pay our attention and then we can extract these characteristics. Actually, I can remember Mataram Sri Jnanarama Mahathero is telling that the yogi should understand the language of the elements. So the elements are talking on their own language and we should actually learn how to learn the language. So whenever earth element is talking, speaking, so it is manifesting through hardness, softness, heaviness, lightness. So likewise, few characteristics are there. So we need to understand, okay, now the earth element is talking. Earth element is now responding. Earth element has come to the front. Similarly, when there is some sort of a flowing, kind of watery nature. So there we can understand, okay, the lush component, large majority, is the what element. That is the predominant characteristics. On the other hand, suppose there is something hot or cold, there we can understand, okay, the fire element is present. So likewise, so we are keeping our attention to various body parts internally or maybe even to the outside. There we can recognize this presence of earth element, fire element, air element and water element. So the recognition is necessary. So what is happening if we are doing like this? So typically we have the wrong notion of a person. That's a self. That's an I. I belong this body. This is I am. I am beautiful. I am tall. I am short. I am fat. I am very nice. So whatever it is, we have some body related attachments. We have some body related identifications. But on the other hand, when we are able to look at the body as it is with proper wisdom, then we understand, okay, it is kind of a manifestation of four elements. Even the outside, it is the mere manifestation of four elements. So we lose that the dichotomy, we will lose the duality of internal and external. Everywhere, nothing but elements. So instead of thinking this as me, mine, I, myself, so now we have a different perspective. That is, this is nothing but elements. So Buddha is giving a very beautiful simile here. That is, we are just like a skilled butcher. So when a butcher has killed a cow, and when he is selling the meat, so here, there, the butcher doesn't have the idea of a cow. Cow has already died, and now he is selling meat. So now he has the notion of meat. Now he has the perception of meat, not cow. So previously there was an animal that is so-called cow, but now there is no cow, there is no animal. Now it is merely flesh, merely meat. So entirely different perspective. Now the perception has totally changed. So similarly in a yogi, so in a practitioner, when he is practicing, so the typical worldly approach that this is me, this is I am, this is mine, this is man, this is woman, this is so and so. So that kind of a personality view, Sakkaya Ditti, this kind of a compact view, the Gana Sanya, going to break, and you have the wisdom of the proper understanding that there is no person, no being, no I here, simply it is merely elements. So like that previously there was a cow, now only meat is available. There is no cow right now. Similarly, the yogi will understand there is no person, no me, no mind, no man, no woman, but only available are simply elements. So this is the kind of an idea that Buddha wants to emphasize. So as a result of this practice, if one is continuing Dhatumanasikara, one would be able to maintain one's attention on the body and to remove all the day-to-day mundane kind of memories, intentions related to the household life. Typically our mind is congested, kind of corrupted, polluted or disturbed by various day-to-day activities, various memories related to the day-to-day activities, various memories related to the household life. But on the other hand, if we practice this Dhatu Manasikara element meditation, so those household mentality will reduce, and we will establish ourselves on the understanding of elements. Internal earth element, external earth element, internal fire element, external fire element, internal water element, external water elements. So likewise, they are merely elements. So this kind of an insight going to arise. As a result, so the mind get disenchanted towards this body or someone else's body. And similarly, one's wisdom will arise, understanding that so there is nothing but elements, and again that the association, the mind's reflection will be limited to the body, not much going outside and reflecting about so many other things. But now mind likes to stay inside the body. So mind is quieted. Mind is brought to singleness and fairly concentrated. And that's why Buddha is telling, Ajjattameva chittam santittati. Now the body likes to stay inside. Now the body doesn't want to go outside, doesn't want to distract. Rather, mind likes to stay with the body, contemplating about the body, understanding various characteristics of the body. So that becomes kind of a change in one's life. So this is the benefit that Buddha is explaining here of a continuous practice of Dhatu Manasikara. And there are maybe various other benefits, like one is losing the compactness, one is losing the wrong notion of a self, a person, a man, a woman. So likewise, there are many benefits because Dhatu Manasikara is one of the wisdom practice, more conducive to arouse wisdom. And therefore, with that last word, final mark, I'd like to conclude today's short Dhamma sermon. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask. And now I open the session for questions.
I'm sorry, Bhante. There are 5 questions today.
Yeah.
Question number one. This is a general question. Dear Bhante, thank you for this wonderful program, which is the reason for many of us to start a practice and a spiritual journey. We can see many participants engaging in regular practice. Once we get a hang of the technique, what can be considered as a regular healthy practice in the midst of our busy schedules? My idea is at least 3 days per week, 45 minutes walking and 45 minutes sitting, and one residential retreat per year to start with. If we have some kind of an idea about regular practice, it will be very useful. Thank you for your insights, Bhante, with Metta. That's the end.
That is a lazy schedule, I feel. So you better improve the practice. So as much as possible, spend some time, because as beginners, it is necessary to involve certain amount of practice. Otherwise, we get distracted. Otherwise, we easily get carried away by the typical world trends. So therefore, now this session is, as you said, is quite useful for us to keep that attention, keep that attitude in our mind without sort of losing it. But I mean, start kind of a daily practice. Say in the morning you do some walking session and you do some sitting session. And in the evening, after coming back home from your, say, workplace, probably you do a little walk and then you do some sitting session. So likewise, and even the day-to-day activities you do, you are trying your best to do mindfully. So likewise, there is a kind of motivation has to come from your side, from your end. Then only you get connected with the practice. Otherwise, it appears like kind of a alienated, kind of a distant practice. But as we continuously make our practice, then the practice become our habit. It's like you are, say, eating, drinking, say you are wearing clothes, and all those are has become part of our life. So similarly, this practice also become part of our life. It is not a distant sort of so-called practice, but rather it is an inherent part of our life. So try your best to incorporate this practice to your life so that it is not far from you. It is with you. It is then become kind of a companion, kind of a friend with you. Yeah.
Question number 2 of 5. So this is sitting mindfulness. Venerable sir, my sitting practice is being mindful on the breath, and with your guidance, I have been practicing quite regularly and enthusiastically. I have experienced some of the signposts you mentioned in the Dhamma talks and the question and answer in terms of the practice technique, which I want to share as the first aspect. At the beginning, I can clearly discern in breath and out breath observations, and then the beginning, middle, and end of each breath, and the gap. The breath settles down, calming the mind, and becomes very subtle and sometimes non-observable. The second aspect is about thoughts, which can be deliberate and or random. Sometimes I get carried away by thoughts and come back to the awareness of the breath when I realize after some time. Other times I can be with awareness in the midst of thoughts by seeing through the thoughts coming and going. This has not been a problem or a concern. I'm trying to understand a third aspect, sleepiness, which creeps in time to time while the first two are going on, namely the technique I apply on the mindfulness object and how I handle the thoughts. If the sleepiness comes as a gross identifiable form, for example, when the sitting time is not right and I'm already physically tired, I can look at it with mindfulness. Sometimes there is a gap between the observation and the sleepiness. The gap created by mindful observation and the sleepy feeling gets absorbed into this gap, making me alert and fresh again. So if I can catch sleepiness, it is temporary and I know how to handle it. Sometimes I cannot catch a form of sleepiness when it is subtle and appears like stemming from a boring, sluggish feeling. I get dragged along and realize after some time. During this time, awareness is not continuous and I feel like there were gaps, but I don't know what happened and can't explain my experience. Are these two types, gross sleepiness and the subtle one, which is very hard to catch and which blocks continuous awareness, one or two entirely different qualities of mind? Much merits for Bhante's guidance in this regards. With metta, that's the end.
Yeah, I think you have done a very good observation. And so keep observing like this, because this observation helps us to properly understand how we fall asleep, how we get caught to drowsiness. Because this observation itself refines our mindfulness. So if we are not doing this observation, if we simply do a surface touching, then we easily get sleep. We easily become drowsy. But as you have done, you are trying to sort of carefully understand how you fall asleep. What are the sort of forerunners of sleepiness? What are the signs of sleepiness? So these are very good observations. But on the other hand, suppose if you very well know that I'm almost now going to fall asleep, probably you can introduce a little bit of, say, labeling. That is one technique, but I mean, it may little rough your mindfulness, it might change the track, but still you can avoid sleepiness. Say you are doing anapanasati, so you are at that time, you simply was watching in breath and out breath. You may be feeling maybe this is the middle, or this is the beginning, this is the middle, this is the end, this is the gap, this is the middle of the out, this is the beginning of the out breath, this is the middle, this is the end. So this is the gap just before the next in breath. So likewise, suppose you are very carefully observing the complete cycle. At that time, assume that you are almost feeling asleep. Probably you can little stop seeing that minor details. Instead, you can introduce noting. Okay, this is in breath, this is out breath. This is in breath, this is out breath. So likewise, you are making little bit mind little rough at that time, so that you can avoid sleepiness. And again, suppose you are not observing the detail, rather you are simply do a surface touch. At that time, you fall asleep. At that time, you feel that you are going to sleep. So there you can introduce finding out details. So there is a very beautiful sutta called Aggi Sutta in Bojjhanga Samhita. There Buddha is categorizing these Bojjhangas, enlightenment factors, into two groups. So one group are the active group, like the Dhamma Vichaya, investigation and the effort and the happiness. the rupture, or the kind of the happy nature, happy mood of the mind. So that is more positive, that is more active. But on the other hand, the samadhi, the lightness, the pasaddhi, and the upekka, equanimity, are onto the other side. They actually little calms down the mind. So time to time, we need to understand, is my mind extremely calm, or is my mind agitated? If your mind is agitated, then if you do more observation, very trying to precisely understand and examine things, then it can even further aggravate the situation. At that time, actually, you need to calm down the mind. You need to further improve the calmness, improve the lightness, or the kind of the equanimity. But on the other hand, if you feel sleepy, drowsy, at that time you need to arouse energy, arouse the examining nature, investigation. Then mind cannot fall asleep. So likewise, you might have to do such appropriate adjustments. So that might help you to overcome sleepiness. Yeah.
Question number 3 of 6. This is a theory question. Dear sir, like Anapanasati Sutta, is there a discourse which is entirely dedicated to Chitta Anupassana, or mindfulness of the mind? That's the end.
Mindfulness on the mind. Actually, you can read the last sutta of Majjhima Nikaya, that is called Indriya Bhavana Sutta, that is giving a fair information about how you are handling, say, your faculties, how you are handling your eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and the mind, with respect to the sort of attitude arising in the mind. Say, while you are using your eyes, suppose you get a happy feeling. Or while you are using your eyes, you get a unhappy feeling. So Buddha advised us to, rather than sort of engage in this happiness, or rather than engage in this unhappiness, try to take the mind to the middle. Try to take the mind again back to the unattached, unassociated, non-grasping state. That is the upekkha, that is the equanimity. So even when you are listening to something, if you get elated, then you are losing that equanimity. Again, mind is a little agitated. This rupture, this happiness is kind of an agitated state. But on the other hand, when you are listening to something, you become sorrow, you become unhappy, you become a little frustrated. That is the other end. That is the other extreme. So we need to maintain our mind in the middle range. That is the most comfortable state. Mostly the equanimous state. So the Buddha therefore advised us by giving various similes how quickly we have to take our mind back to that middle comfortable zone. And that is more equanimous. And it is non-attachment. And it is not sort of a relaxed state, non-grasping state, no tension, no stress. So no tension-free, stress-free, friction-free, unattached, sort of peaceful state is something that we have to be cultivated. So in this Indriya Bhavana Sutta, therefore Buddha emphasized, this is the kind of a practice of a yogi, and he is actually constantly watching the mind, and appropriately, if he understand, as a result of this present observation, as a result of encountering whatever the sight, sound, say thoughts, smells, taste, if mind get agitated into any of these extremes, so Buddha advised us to take it back to the middle. So this is therefore a good sutta as far as our practice is concerned, fairly dealing with Chittanupassana. Definitely there may be various other suttas, but this is also a very beautiful and quite practical sutta.
Question number 4 of 6. This is a general question. Dear Bhante, is it correct to say the four elements are introduced considering how we can know or feel the natural processes without thinking and mental proliferations. Is there a reason that one word identifies two extreme ends in the four elements? For example, fire element is for hot as well for cold. Earth element is representing hardness and softness, both using a single word. That's the end of the question.
So give me a minute, Chatu. I'll switch off this fan. It's getting little noise. I can't hear you properly. Give me a minute. So sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yes. This is question number 4 of 6, general question. Dear Bhante, is it correct to say that the four elements are introduced considering how we can know or feel the natural processes without thinking and mental proliferations? Is there a reason that one word identifies two extreme ends in the four elements? For example... One word identifies two extreme ends in the four elements. So that gives an example, two examples. For example, fire element is for hot as well for cold, and earth element is representing hardness and softness, but yes, using a single word. That's the end of the question.
Yeah, actually, this is the sort of the heat element, say for example, if there is abundant of heat element present, then we can it manifests like high temperature. If there is less heat element, then it may manifest like low temperature, which is cold. But still the responsibility of the temperature is more into the heat element or the fire element. But on the other hand, if there is less flowing, then we can say it is less water element. But if there is high flowing, high rate of flowing, then we can say, okay, the predominant factor is the water element. So likewise, it is actually showing the presence of or the percentage of each element. Actually, typically, all these four elements are working together, like in a kind of a mechanism. There are earth element, water element, fire element, and air element. They all are working together, and whenever something, say fire element is coming to the front, okay, it appears like a little hot. It is very much like suppose you are taking a tea, and there, if it is as I said before, and probably you can feel it may be really hot tea. It's too high, then you even can't drink. So there are the heat element is also present. On the other hand, it has the flowing nature. So the water element is also present. And on the other hand, if we say make it cool, and if when we are going to drink it, and we can feel that something is touching our tongue, our lips. So, and that may be smooth. And that is the earth element. So likewise, all the sort of different elements are present there, and they have these two extremes. So water element has the extreme of flowing or the cohesion. Fire element has the extreme of cold or hot. Say earth element has the extreme of either say heavy or light, hard or smooth, rough or soft. So likewise. So this is how actually these elements are manifested. So it's for us to, this is the kind of an explanation for us to understand the presence of various elements. So when we understand the presence of various elements using these indicators, so we may lose the wrong view of a person, wrong view of an animal, wrong view of a man, wrong view of a woman. Instead, what is available is nothing but elements. So, I mean, even inside and even the outside. Everywhere in the physical world, therefore, we can say nothing but elements. I think I have answered the question. What do you think, Chatu?
I think so, too.
Yeah, okay.
Question number 5 of 6, mindful sitting. Did approximately 5 minutes of walking in the tiled floor of the room prior to the guided sitting session. Went into the session with the resolution of paying full attention and commitment to complete the session. Paid specific attention to the posture as guided. I learned from the previous Sunday talk based on Kayagata Sati Sutta and how Anandatera became Arahant by Bhante. I'm sure how that reads. Although I drifted into thoughts as usual, managed to make the observation of the drift quicker and then ditched them to observe the breath again each time. Was not certain if there were outside noises or not, as I was not disturbed by any. Didn't recall the last phrase in the guided narration into the meditation session. About 5 to 7 minutes into the session, started seeing a tiny dot in front of the left eyelid that developed into the shape of an animal's eye. It then morphed into an elephant with its trunk and tail lifted up and floated up like a balloon towards the right. This was replaced by what looked like a flame of a candle of about 2 centimeters in height that was cobalt blue magenta in color. This lasted probably 20 seconds. Long enough for me to wonder if this was my mind being conditioned after listening to several reflection reports of others before. That flame faded and appeared in the same form and manner again for a shorter period. I did not have any liking or disliking towards it and did not have expectation of seeing it again, but continued to observe the breath. I recognized that my neck dropped twice and strained it afterwards. I felt that I managed to make some progress today, particularly in being able to sustain the effort to stay observant. Managed 21 minutes of observation before a reminder alarm disrupted me before the program session time. A few hours after the session ended, I got a can-do feeling, some progress at last, an indication that I can train my stream of thoughts. I had doubts on when and how I could make progress, and today was a sign that I could. At last, I am presenting my first reflection report since starting in June this year. Please advise how I may proceed from this point onwards. That's the end.
I think overall, I mean, you are trying your best, and that's an important thing. So different, ups and downs are present in our practice. So one day we become sort of meeting our expectations, another day not really meeting our expectation. But overall, some contribution is there. Actually, I mean, different aspects are there in our practice. Say, for example, when we are without giving up, when we are continuing our practice, even when some tangible resources are still not available. So that actually helps to develop saddha, faith. On the other hand, when we fall down and become sort of lethargic, no energy. So at that time, we have to arouse energy. We have to lift it up. So then we are introducing or we are developing effort, virya. On the other hand, suppose everything is happening smoothly and we are trying to be mindful about the ongoing process and nothing is missed. We are properly or accurately keeping our attention one after the other on upcoming each and every breath, each and every rising and falling, each and every foot. So this indicates the improvement of the mindfulness. And suppose your mind is well sort of established on a particular selected object. So there are, we can understand, okay, mind is well concentrated, one pointed. So the samadhi is developing. And when you are able to look at various aspects of the object, say it is whether it is cold, whether it is hot, whether it is arising, whether it is passing away, whether it is changing. So you are looking at, you are closely observing the object. So the wisdom is developing. So therefore, even though we feel that sometimes it is good, sometimes it is bad, today I have a good session, today I didn't have a good session, but there is a fair amount of contribution towards this indriya, contribution towards these faculties. So therefore, we can't say that none of our meditation sessions are bad. Any of the meditation sessions actually have some contribution towards these faculties, all these indriya dhamma. So therefore, continue your practice as far as I can feel that you are on a correct track, and ups and downs are of course there. But when you do your daily practice, slowly, slowly, you will understand the art. You will understand how mind is growing, especially how mindfulness is growing. Say at your beginning of your practice, say you could only be mindful about, say, 10 breaths, 20 breaths. But later you can be mindful about, say, 100 breaths, 200 breaths in succession. And you could now practice walking meditation, say, for a fair amount of time. So these are indicators that our practice is growing. And the mind becomes a little calm, the clarity of mind increases, the mind becomes peaceful. So these are the indicators that our practice is growing. So therefore, continue your practice, you are in the correct track. Yep.
Question number 6. This is the last one, and I think because we're very short on time today. General question. Dear Bhante, you explained we have to think elements outside and elements inside are similar, but we give so much importance to the elements inside the body by covering with clothes, protecting, etc., and doing our best to keep everything in good condition. So, how can we develop equanimity? You explained just a little while ago that everything is equal and all have the same importance. That's the end of the question.
So actually, this will happen naturally. I mean, we don't need to artificially try to condition our mind, telling, okay, internal earth element and external earth element are merely the earth element, internal water element, they are outside water element is merely the water element. I mean, there is not necessity of conditioning the mind, forcing the mind to accept like this. But rather, when you more and more realize about the internal elements, more and more the compactness going to remove. More and more the self-view going to reduce. And the additional value that we have given to this so-called person, so so-called body, so-called eyes, so-called ears, and all these different components, so that going to be reduced, and our mind become little somewhat dispassionate and somewhat loosen the grasping. And even more than that, so you might come to an area where you can't now find out different elements. Everything become like a flux. You have lost the boundaries. You have lost the demarcations. You have lost various marks of each and every element, but everything appear like a flux. So that is where this demarcations or delimiting factors are going to be removed, or the boundary is going to loosen. So there, this understanding become natural. Say the internal and external boundaries going to be faded away. That become blurred. So it may happen naturally. So don't expect that to happen immediately. At our early stages, our goal, our objective is to recognize these various elements. Recognition of elements by using their characteristics. So we feel various characteristics. With respect to that, we understand, okay, this is the function of earth element, this is the function of air element. Likewise, with the function of different elements, we can understand them. As we grow, we can clearly recognize, okay, there are many different functions, there are many different elements. They all come and go. They all are very vulnerable. I have no control. They are constantly changing. So there are different insights going to arise in our mind. Many insights. So it's a matter of continuing our practice. Time to time, there are various insights going to arise. So one of the insight is what you are talking here. That is the insight of losing this internal external dichotomy. So we typically have the internal external dichotomy, but now we are losing that. We are blurring that. So it has to happen naturally. You can't arouse it. You can't force it to arouse. You can't condition mind to have it. Rather, it's a matter of you continue your practice. When your mind is maturing, then this respective insight may arise. It's a matter of daily practice. Then naturally, like a flower blooming, So these insights may going to arise. Okay.
We're out of time about this. We'll finish now. Sure. So because we have limited time today, we've done the
program. But anyway, if the participants like to continue their sitting session, please help them to continue their practice. But I like to wind up the session from my end. But if the participants like to continue their guided sitting, maybe Chamila can play a recorded session and facilitate them to continue their practice.
Yes, Bhante, I'll do that.
So, Chatu, you can thank me after some time. So, you are already muted. Your mic is muted.
I won't make so many comments. But look, thank you very much, Bhante. We know you have a very busy timetable. So, we'd like to thank you for giving up your time and accommodating us today.
Okay.
So with that, I'd like to sum up. Thiruvan Sannai, Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
So thank you very much for every one of your participation. So keep this enthusiasm so that you can get the benefit of this session. So Chamila will help you to continue your practice, the guided sitting session today. So thank you very much for participation. And I'll leave you here. Thiruvan Sannai.
Thiruvan Sannai.